This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius. Germanicus is here. We are first century AD men reading the New Yorker in the 21st century. And we are self-confessed astonished at what we're reading. The title, Marty Baron on the Washington Post's spineless, in quotes, endorsement decision, subhead. The former executive editor, Marty Baron, discusses his relationship with the newspaper's owner, Jeff Bezos, the second most successful man in the solar system, who was reportedly behind the last-minute call to kill an editorial supporting Kamala Harris. This is an interview by Isaac Chotiner at The New Yorker. Germanicus, I did not expect this, nor did I expect the Washington Post not to endorse Kamala Harris. And now The New Yorker's interview suggests that Bezos is a villain. Bezos, to my memory, paid an enormous sum of money to own the Washington Post personally. This is not an Amazon acquisition. I believe it's Mr. Bezos, is from his billions and billions and billions. However, this article goes on at great length, talking to Marty Baron, who is revered, that he had no prior knowledge of Bezos reversing course. And then they question the present publisher, Will Lewis, who is the man who signed the editorial saying there would not be an endorsement. The puzzle here is, it is November 6th, the day after the election. We are presuming, because we can only see so far, we are presuming that this editorial decision at the Washington Post and this unhappy interview in the New Yorker are anticipating a success for the former president and a defeat for the vice president. We're presuming that. There is a suggestion here of something alarmingly wrong and that we're headed to a catastrophe. So the puzzle here is, it's the day after, and this looks that the optimates are turning on themselves, something that's happened very often in the Roman Senate. We've seen it many times. Sometimes we call it a civil war. Sometimes we call it a purge. Sometimes men ask for exile rather than execution. Sometimes they open their own veins. There are various forms of it. How do you measure this when you first heard? Was the Senate turning on itself? Do they all have their daggers out? Or were they anticipating there's advantage here? Good evening to you, Germanicus.
Good evening, Gaius. Among the many invidious historical comparisons between Trump and various malign figures, shall we say, in the past, is the comparison of Mr. Trump to Gaius Julius Caesar. And as we all know, the optimates were dead set against Caesar because he, in effect, was the leader of the populares, and he had promised to essentially save them from the kind of state into which they had fallen, which in large part was the responsibility of the optimates and the endless wars that they'd pursued, which had brought the populares into a state of abnegation and poverty. So the optimates did what? They assassinated Caesar. And the ability of today's optimates to assassinate the latter-day Caesar has failed again and again. And the lawfare, who knows? The encouragement of potential impressionable potential assassins, who knows? All of that has failed, and Mr. Trump is going from strength to strength. And the problem now for the senatorial class in the U.S., you know, the heads of all of the commanding heights.
On November 6th, that's, go ahead.
Yes, but they're faced already with the defection of some of their number, the billionaires like Mr. Musk and David Sachs and others. And in effect, what we're seeing is in many ways very resonant to what happened in the period of the end of the Roman Republic. And they are now in a desperate state. And the only way in their minds that they could ensure that they maintain control and authority is to have a united front, A, and B, to marshal the instruments, the mechanisms of direct control of the American people, whether it's Department of Homeland Security, FBI, whether it's some new information bureau that will, quote unquote, work with social media to make sure that American views are properly massaged and controlled, in other words, censored. All of that is coming apart. And as a result, the disarray itself is evidence of a pessimism. Who knows if that will be maintained, but the united front that the optimates relied upon in order to stay in control and in power is obviously not just brittle and cracking, it's fissuring, it's coming apart.
Yes, it does not appear that there's a plan. It appears that it's every man and woman for him or herself. Hence the speculation about resignations. There have already been resignations at the Washington Post. There were resignations at the LA Times when that very well-to-do owner decided not to endorse Harris or anyone. It's not like Trump is getting endorsements. It's that Harris is not endorsed by editorial pages that have been supporting whoever the Democrats bring forward for some time. So it appears that there's a panic. And then beyond panic, there's adjustment. Bezos, being a shrewd manager of public opinion, has gotten out front. Musk got out front of Bezos, and now Bezos has got out front of, you know, pick your billionaire. There are lots of them.
Now, well, I mean, yeah.
A puzzle, because we also pay attention to media. There are a series of late-night comics, so-called. I don't know all their names all the time because I don't. It's, you know, I've aged out of that. But in any event, they've prospered these many years with Trump. It would appear that there's an analogy there to what's going on with the billionaires. They're going to want to realign themselves. I don't know they can. So it might be that we're beginning a reorganization in media and in what media admires and talks about. It might be. They could also run a Russiagate, too. It's possible.
They could try. But what we're seeing, and that you've so eloquently described, is that a ruling establishment, the commanding heights that have been in power for decades, really, when they are faced with this sort of challenge, they begin to come apart. And the problem, essentially, with the ruling establishment, the ruling class, is that they are effectively, as was Rome at the end of the Republic, the optimates can only marshal themselves as an oligarchy. And oligarchies have a tremendous vulnerability. in the sense that they don't have a true leader. They do sometimes, but rarely. And so an oligarchy under stress, and especially under attack from a very powerful popular leader, is going to be weak, and it's going to come apart. And that is exactly what is happening.
Yes, we'll watch this because it's speculation. November 6th, speculation.
Right.
It could all be a fairy tale that didn't come true or didn't happen. We'll watch it. But right now, the surprise to me, watching this from the first century AD here in Londinium, where the Thames is turbulent and it's turned very cool and everybody's gone home early, and we're going to watch a one-act play later that has to do with the year of four emperors. We always pay attention to that because right now we're living with four or five emperors. We're not sure how many. We're going to turn to a topic that's of great import for the new administration in 2025. That's Ukraine. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm Gaius. Germanicus is here. And I'm John Batchelor.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.